than taken. All these are going up. How?
Benefice will handle the big ones. Like the howler before him, he has an outstanding capacity for managing a large carpet. The other four bigs will be slaved to his. Come, this one is ours.
I said something intelligent like,
Urk!
I want you to see it.
We might be recognized. Taken circled the long, skinny boat carpets. Soldiers were aboard them in the second and third seats. The men facing aft checked their ballistae, munitions, cranked a spring-powered device apparently meant to help re-stretch bowstrings after missiles were discharged. I could see no apparent task assigned the men in the middle seats.
What's the cage work for?
You'll learn soon enough. But come to it fresh, Croker, without preconceptions.
I followed her around our carpet. I do not know what she checked, but she seemed satisfied. The men who had prepared it were pleased by her nod.
Up, Croker, into the second seat. Fasten yourself securely. It'll get exciting before it's over.
Oh, yeah.
We're the Pathfinders, she said as she buckled into the front seat.
A grizzled old sergeant took the rear position. He looked at me doubtfully, but said nothing. The Taken assumed the front seat aboard every carpet. The Bigs, as the lady called them, had crews of four. Benefice rode the carpet at the center point of the W.
Ready!
The lady shouted.
Right.
Aye,
the sergeant said. Our carpet began to move. Lumbering is the only word to describe the first few seconds. The carpet was heavy, and till it managed some forward motion, did not want to lift. The lady looked back and grinned as the earth dropped away. She was enjoying herself. She began shouting instructions which explained the bewildering bunch of pedals and levers surrounding me. Push and pull on these two in combination, and the carpet began to roll around its long axis. Twist those, and it turned right or left. The idea was to use combinations somehow to guide the craft.
"What for?"
I shouted into the wind. The words ripped away. We had donned goggles which protected our eyes, but did nothing for the rest of our faces. I expected a case of windburn before the game was played out. We were 2,000 feet up, 5 miles from horse, well ahead of the Taken. I could see traces of dust raised by Darling's army. Again, I shouted,
"What for?"
The bottom fell out. The lady had extinguished the spells which made the carpet go.
"That's why. You'll fly the boat when we hit the null."
What the hell? She gave me a half dozen shots at getting the hang of it, and I did see the theory before she whipped toward the rebel army. We circled once at screaming speed well outside the null. I was astounded at what Darling had put together. About 50 wind whales, including some monsters over 1,000 feet long. Mantas by the hundred. A vast wedge of walking trees. Battalions of human soldiers. Menhirs by the hundred, flickering around the walking trees, shielding them. Thousands of things that leaped and hopped and glided and flopped and flew. So gruesome and wondrous a sight. On the westward leg of our circle, I spied the Imperial force, 2,000 men in a phalanx on the foreslope of a ridge a mile ahead of the rebel.